Most people are just surviving, and very few are thriving. Learn how you can live a triumphant life in Jesus Christ. It's coming up next on Timeless Truths. Thank you so much for joining us this Lord's Day for Timeless Truths Radio Ministry. We are honored that you took the time to tune into our program this morning. We're going to begin a brand new sermon series, a new study, I guess you could say, for our Timeless Truths. We're going to look at four triumphant truths, and we're going to look at how we can have victory in the Lord Jesus. And this morning, I want to look at the very first way to get victory in Christ, and that is with a proper recognition, We're going to look at that in just a moment. But I talk to a lot of people about spiritual things, and there's a lot of people in our world today. Let me say there's a lot of people in our community today that are searching for hope. The problem is that most people who are looking for hope are looking for hope in the wrong places. Now, living a triumphant life or a victorious life isn't about me and it isn't about you. It's about being complete in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have everything that you need right now to live a victorious life. The Bible has the answers to teach us, to direct us, to show us how we can live this triumphant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you that hope is not found outside of the Lord Jesus. So many people are looking for hope within secular humanism. Our world wants us to believe that we are victims of our environment. There was an old Western song that expressed this false philosophy. The lyrics of the song said, if she seems cold and bitter, then I beg of you, just stop and consider all she's gone through. Don't be quick to condemn her for things she might say. Just remember, life turned her that way. Now, our environment and our friends and our family have great influence on our life. But in order for someone to be set free, in order for someone to live a triumphant life, then the reality is they need to take responsibility for their own life. They need to take responsibility for where they are today. You know, where we are in our life is because of a series of decisions that we have made. And as long as we believe we're the victim, justify our sin or justify our life, then we'll find little hope. There is no hope in humanism. There is no hope in the idea that we are victims and we are just the result of our environment or our society or our upbringing, and there's just no hope for us. We just have to live our life this way. That's a false teaching. That's a false philosophy. There is hope in Jesus Christ. Number two, there's no hope in religion. Now, our world is looking for some religious experience, but religious experiences are not the answer. Most of the time, religious experiences are an attempt to bargain with God. Our world today is filled with religion. Now, in the Bible, there's a story of a Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus, and he was hopeless. He was looking for the pathway to eternal life. He was looking for the way in which he could have eternal life. And so he comes to Jesus by night, the Bible says, and he asked the Lord Jesus, "How can I go to heaven? How can I be a part of the kingdom of God?" And Jesus said this. He didn't answer with an experience. He didn't go to religion. Here was a religious man. Here was a leader in Israel, you know, high up in a religious order. And Jesus said, "Nicodemus, ye must be born again." We're talking about a spiritual birth. We're talking about an event in our life where we called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is salvation. This is what the Bible says. Listen, religion is not the answer. You don't even have to believe in God to be a religious leader today. in The Guardian on the 24th of April, 2016. There was an article here. There is not one mention of God during the 70-minute service at Toronto's West Hill United Church. Bibles are nowhere to be seen. The large steel cross, one of the few remaining religious symbols found in the church. But that is perhaps to be expected in a church led by a vowed atheist. This is what she said. I do not believe in a theistic supernatural being called God. I don't believe in what I think 99% of the world thinks you mean when you use that word God. To her, God is instead a metaphor for goodness and a life lived with compassion and justice. Listen, friend, religion is not the answer. Religion is not the answer. The answer is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to help you from the Bible. If you'll stay tuned, I'm going to help you from the Bible. I'm going to teach you how you can know that how to have victory, okay, found in the Lord Jesus and Him alone. What does the Bible say and how you can live a triumphant life? We're going to look at that in just a moment, but I want to remind you that it's because of God and because of His salvation. So glory to His name, and that's the hymn we're going to listen to next. So grateful for everything that Jesus has done for us and everything that Jesus is to us, and we give Him glory, glory to His name. We're looking at a proper recognition this morning. We're looking at how we can live triumphant lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. And first of all, when we think of a proper recognition, we're beginning with the idea of a position of faith. The Bible demands faith. Now, we can reason together and we can talk about the proof and logic that there is a God, but at the end of all of it, one must come to a position of faith. Now, a position of faith is believing the Bible because God has said it. Faith is the affirmative response to God and His Word. Now, this is what the scriptures say. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. In order for someone to truly embrace the Word of God, they have to believe the very first four words in the Bible. And that is, in the beginning, God. If they struggle with those first four words, then the rest of the Bible is not going to make any sense to them. All right, if you have your Bibles handy, would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews and the 11th chapter, Hebrews chapter 11 in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Now, this is not defining what faith is. This is describing where faith will bring you. So what will faith do in your life? Number one, faith will give you substance. The word substance in our Bible, they are used in Hebrews 11, verse number 1. It's used 5 times in the New Testament. And the idea is it's confidence, it's substance, it's confidence. But as we use and as we study this word in the other passages in our New Testament, we get a better understanding of what the Bible is teaching us. You see, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 teaches us, "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person," this is speaking of Jesus, and that Greek word there for person is the same Greek word used in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 for substance. So first of all, let us understand that when we talk about substance, and faith will give us substance, faith gives us the essence of something. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the word substance is used in the subjective sense, which means faith gives essence to something. As we have faith in God, as we have faith in the Word of God, it gives us essence, it gives us meaning, it gives us substance to the Bible, to God's command, to salvation, to death, to hell, to heaven, to sin, to my heart's condition. Faith gives us essence, substance, meaning to our lives. Number two, substance is the foundation to something. Faith is the foundation to which we build our life. Faith is the foundation to which we build our hope. And then thirdly, substance is our confidence. It's our assurance. The Bible says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So the Bible teaches us that we don't walk by what we see. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And faith gives us substance. It gives us confidence. To be absent from this physical body is to have a spiritual body in the presence of our Lord. So faith gives substance. And our world today is living without this substance. I mean, they are questioning their life. They're questioning their purpose in life. They have no essence or meaning or substance to the life that they are living. Number two, faith not only gives us substance, but faith also gives us evidence. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it is also the evidence of things not seen. So this is the evidence of a future hope, but also it is evidence of a present reality that is unseen. You say, "Pastor Burns, what are you talking about?" Well, when I was 10 years old, I knelt beside my bed. My father showed me some scriptures, and I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. The Bible says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so when I was 10 years old, I prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior. I placed my faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my faith wasn't in a prayer. My faith wasn't in my own abilities, and my faith wasn't in some experience that I went through. My faith was in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I prayed and asked Christ to be my Savior. Now, you say, "Well, Pastor Burns, how do you know that you're going to heaven when this life is over?" Well, first of all, I believe the Bible. I believe it by faith. I believe the words written in black and written in red. I believe the Bible is a spiritual book, and I believe that the Bible is God's word. It is inspired. It is God-breathed. And so I believe the Bible. I believe the word of God. And so I believe it by faith. Faith gives me substance. It gives me essence. It teaches me how I can be wise unto salvation. It teaches me how I can be confident in my salvation. And faith allows me to see what is unseen. The very present reality that I have right now is that I am a child of God. And I don't depend upon how I feel. I don't depend on an experience that I've had. I have faith in what God has said. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe the Bible, and therefore I have this evidence of my present reality that I cannot see. I have this evidence based upon the word of God. By the way, let me say this. It is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. So my faith is not unguided. I can have assurance and I can have confidence knowing that God will not lie to me. This is what my faith is placed upon. So faith gives me substance. It gives me a foundation. It gives me confidence. It gives me essence. But also faith gives me evidence. Evidence of what I cannot see, but I know to be true because of my faith in God. So what do we believe in faith? What does the Bible teach us? Well, the Bible teaches us that, first of all, there's one God. There's one God. I know our world today would say that there are one God with many names and one God with many characteristics, but the Bible says that there is one God. His name is Jehovah. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39 teaches us, "Know therefore this day, and consider in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else." There is one God, the Bible says. And God created humanity. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our image," the Bible says. God breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. He became an eternal soul. You see, humanity is not an animal. Humanity is the crowning work of creation, and the only creature made by God in the likeness of God. So because we are made by God, God made us with a purpose. This is really the heart of the Bible. This is the purpose of humanity. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9, turn there if you could, if you have a Bible with you. The Bible says that God saved us and called us with a holy calling. And this is not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his grace. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that God's purpose is good, and God's purpose is acceptable, and God's purpose is perfect. A person cannot be happy until they understand that they were created on purpose for a purpose. And I know our world is trying to steal that away from humanity, but remember, the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, but God has come to give us life and life more abundantly. And if we're going to have an abundant life, if we're going to have victory, then we need purpose. If we're going to be triumphant, then we need to know we were created for a purpose. So God has given to us a purpose. He created us. And then God has revealed himself to us. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 9, that God is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God has revealed himself to us. And he has done this through, first of all, the light of creation. The Bible says in Romans 1, verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that this whole entire world is without excuse." Now, let me help you understand that verse. The Bible says that when someone looks at the world It is obvious that there is a God. It is obvious that there is a creator. And for someone to reject that means that they have to be willingly ignorant of God's purpose and God's creation. They have to be willingly ignorant. They have to ignore a lot of things to come to the conclusion that there is no God. The Bible says that no one has an excuse. The world was created by God. In fact, in Psalm 19, in verses 1 and 2, the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And the Bible says that it uttereth speech day after night. It speaks to us. Creation speaks to us. And there's no language. There's no language that cannot understand that there is a God, there is a creator, and he has a purpose for our life. We also have the light of conscience. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. So the Bible says that when the Gentile people who were not directly given the Ten Commandments or were not directly given the law of God, yet these Gentiles, all that surround Israel, they know the law and they do the law. It proves that God created us for a purpose, that we serve a moral God who is interested in our life and knows what is best for us. This is proof that there is a God, light of creation, light of conscience. And then there's the light of the Word of God itself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So what I'm trying to tell you this morning here on Timeless Truths is that He, God, revealed Himself to us. And He has revealed to us that He is the only God. He has revealed to us that He is a loving God. He has revealed His nature, John 3:16, for God so loved that He gave. He has revealed His holiness, His power. He revealed Himself as the truth and the giver of grace. In His salvation, He has shown to us that He loves us and has a purpose for every single person. I'm trying to help us understand that God has given to us a purpose. He's created us, and He's revealed Himself to us. And if God has a purpose for us, then we must stand before Him one day. There is an appointed time where every single person will stand before Him. And the Bible says that the unsaved people, those who reject the Lord Jesus, will stand before God at the great white throne. And those who are Christians will stand before Him, not as sinners, but as stewards, at what we call the Bema Seat. The Bible says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we will stand before our Creator. We will give an account, and you can reject Him and you can deny Him. It doesn't matter. One day you are going to stand before Him. And so the Bible teaches us that we have to have a proper position. That's a position of faith, believe that God is. And then we have to realize what the Bible teaches us and believe what the Bible says about us and about who God is. But then I want us to think about a proper recognition. Now, what is this proper recognition? This proper recognition is really simple. The Bible says that we were created by God for a purpose, and He has given us life. The reason why we still are on this earth today is because God allows our heart to beat 100,000 times a day, and He's given us life and opportunity, and we are accountable to God in fulfilling this purpose He's given to us. And the only way that we can fulfill this purpose is knowing God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ today. Are you a Christian? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about some experience you've had. I'm talking about knowing Him. You say, well, Pastor Burns, I felt really near to God. The Bible says in the book of Acts and the 17th chapter that He's not far from every one of us. So God is near to every single individual. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Is there a time where you realize you've sinned against God and you called upon Him for salvation? Friend, listen to me. If you don't have that event in your life, then today's the day of salvation. Would you pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior right now, even right now? Lord, I know I've sinned against you. Lord, please save me. I believe the gospel. I believe you died for me. Wash my sins away. Take me to heaven when I die. Listen, friend, if you've prayed that prayer from your heart, it's not faith in a prayer. It's not faith in some experience or faith in Timeless Truths Radio Ministry. It's faith in God. If you believe that with all of your heart, then friend, you're born again. You're a Christian. And we want to celebrate. We want to help you. We rejoice with you. Would you please contact us? Head over to our website, timelesstruths.ca. Fill out that form that talks about you making that decision. And we want to send you some help, some literature to help you on your way in your Christian life. God bless you. We're going to continue our study next Sunday as we look at finding a triumphant life in Jesus Christ.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
Weak ends can make for strong beginnings, especially when you start each week with RU Recovery. They meet at Kitchener Baptist Church every Friday night at 7. And whatever you're struggling with, drugs, alcohol, pornography, tobacco, or any other behavioral problems like anger or depression, believe me, RU offers the help you need. Plus, you'll make some great new friends who understand what you're going through. And RU is open to people from all walks of life, any faith or no faith, anybody who is just seeking to find something that works. I'm telling you, if you live better, you'll feel better. So why not make this your first weekend for strong beginnings with RU Recovery? RU Recovery meets Friday nights at 7 p.m. at Kitchener Baptist Church, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. For more information, call Michael at 226-336-7680.